I am working on understanding Intapp better, trying to get a sense of the company, how it operates, and the opportunities there. To start, it would be great to hear about your background, especially your experience at Intapp.
I joined Intapp in 2018, or maybe it was 2019. I was there for about 5 years as the head of revenue operations. I was hired directly by their chief revenue officer, Costa Harbilas. My role was somewhat like a right-hand person for the CRO. I managed a team responsible for operations, improving processes, and focusing on the strategy side. This included planning for growth, working with finance to forecast company numbers, determining where to invest and which products to focus on. I also managed planning, compensation structures, and many analytical aspects of running the company and its go-to-market strategies.
Why did you join back in 2018? What attracted you to Intapp?
When I joined in 2018, Intapp wasn't very well known. It was in a small office in Palo Alto next to a Fry's. I had been dealing with a family situation and was previously working at a company in San Francisco. The commute from Montevideo to San Francisco took about 2 hours, and due to a health situation in the family, I needed to take some time off. When I returned to work, I decided I no longer wanted to commute to San Francisco and wanted something closer to home in Palo Alto. Intapp came up as an opportunity. It was mainly a personal decision, but the company had an interesting vibe. I had come from a company where I was the oldest person, and Intapp felt more like a Gen X type of company, which was interesting for Silicon Valley. I got a good feeling working with the CRO and the team, so I took my chances. At the time, it wasn't clear that Intapp would go public or anything like that. It was more of a personal choice. I am very glad I made that choice. It was a solid management team, a good company, and great people. We eventually got the chance to go public, and it was a great experience.
Why did you leave?
I left because I had been there for 5 years, and as you can see from my profile, I like to reinvent myself and try different things. While managing for a few years, I noticed that sales compensation and sales incentives lacked good market solutions. I had been considering starting a company for quite some time, but I was always financially conservative. The IPO gave me the freedom to pursue what I wanted next. I found a co-founder, and we started a company called EasyComp, which automates sales incentives for sales teams. It was a hard decision, but it was now or never. If I didn't start a company now, I wasn't going to do it. That was my decision-making process.
Given your background, there are two main things I would like to explore. First, I want to understand the evolution of the go-to-market strategy, revenue, and overall operations, and how you built it. Second, I want to delve into the strategic planning and revenue opportunities you saw, and how the company pursued them. Let's start with the go-to-market structure and its evolution. When you joined in 2018, what did the go-to-market organization look like, and how were the teams structured?
When it came to the go-to-market organization, it was quite different. Mainly, the legal department was holding most of the weight, particularly the conflicts products. They had a team of sellers who traditionally sold based on relationships. They hadn't made an effort to sell higher up in the organization to the partners and were mainly selling IT solutions to the IT team. On the other hand, we had the acquisition of DealCloud, which was a very interesting acquisition at the time. Intapp has made multiple acquisitions, not all of them super successful, but DealCloud was a very successful one. We could see that it was going to be very impactful for the company. The company was running on a separate track, more like a millennial type company. They were in North Carolina and operated in a more agile way. Intapp at the time always saw itself as bigger than it really was. They had a very small accounting consulting team still trying to figure out how to go to market. They mainly had a team in legal focused on IT relationships, while DealCloud was growing rapidly with a different go-to-market dynamic. Intapp is more of an enterprise solution, requiring larger deals and working with larger enterprises and legal firms. They own the space of larger legal firms, but don't have a product for firms with 2 or 3 lawyers. However, DealCloud had customers like VCs with 2 or 3 people, selling 2 or 3 licenses of the product. It was a more dynamic mid-market motion versus the enterprise. They ran along successfully for quite a while after the acquisition. My manager Costa came in as the CRO, and we introduced some changes. The go-to-market structure wasn't very disciplined, so we introduced a disciplined, SaaS go-to-market structure with clear objectives and weekly forecast calls. We also introduced technology for account management and a more structured approach to go-to-market. Intapp had about 12 different products, and many customers had only one or two. There was a lot of opportunity to grow within the existing customer base. We separated the pursuit of new logos from existing customers and provided tools to understand customer needs and potential product interests. This approach was very successful. We also introduced sales enablement to change the sales motion from selling to IT to selling to business owners. This required significant recycling of the sales force, leading to churn and bringing in new talent aligned with the strategy of selling higher up in the organization.
Could you tell me more about the DealCloud team being separate and doing their own thing? Did these get integrated at some point during your time there? Or did the business lines remain separate?
No, they didn't remain separate. COVID provided an interesting opportunity for the company. Everyone was trying to figure out what to do next. For us, it caused a slowdown for a couple of quarters, which was an opportunity for the company to conduct some layoffs. This was mainly an opportunity to rotate the sales talent. It allowed us to let go of some of the bottom performers and those still selling lower in the organization, while retaining the talent that was selling higher up. At the same time, we integrated both organizations and brought the same level of discipline from the Intapp side to the cloud side. It was interesting because we were also using our internal systems. We had been selling on Salesforce for 20 years, but we decided to migrate from Salesforce to DevCloud internally. As a software company using DevCloud as a CRM, it was interesting. Having used Salesforce for many years, there was a lot of hesitation at first. But once we used DevCloud, I found it superior to Salesforce in many ways, even for running a software organization. We were happy with the migration, although it wasn't easy. We did lose some integrations and tools that worked on top of Salesforce, but it wasn't a huge loss. In the end, we built some solutions internally, and I thought it was a good move.
Even though DevCloud was not designed for that, right?
It was not designed for us. Our pitch to customers was always, look, we are a software company using Salesforce, because it was built for software companies. You are a legal or accounting firm, and our software is built for you. However, over time, Salesforce used that against us, so we decided we could use DevCloud. It is not something the company initially wanted to do, but they have a really good CRM that could also work for software companies and other industries.
Just to confirm, at that stage, you had the sales team working on a client focus and cross-selling across the product line through their end marketing?
Correct. With the integration of financial services, we introduced a set of products. At that time, the company acquired another solution called OnePlace. It had a great name, OnePlace, and we decided to rename everything under that brand, OnePlace for legal and OnePlace for whatever vertical. It was basically a CRM solution for legal. Over time, we realized that DealCloud was a superior technology, so we began migrating both solutions into the same code base. We saw a significant opportunity to sell CRM for legal, which OnePlace wasn't adequately addressing, but DealCloud could. Initially, we marketed it as OnePlace, but eventually recognized that DealCloud was a strong brand that could be sold to legal, accounting, and consulting sectors, presenting a great business opportunity. Simultaneously, there was an opportunity to sell conflict and risk products to financial services companies. This led to an expanded portfolio of products tailored towards risk solutions for financial services. The integration became more interesting as we shared best practices and participated in the same forecast and company calls.
That is very interesting feedback on OnePlace versus DealCloud within legal firms. This brings us to the cross-sell opportunity, which seems relevant on both sides of the business. You mentioned the low penetration rate among legal clients who had the conflicts product but not the full range of offerings. Could you elaborate on the situation a couple of years ago, the opportunity, and the roadblocks to capturing it in terms of cross-selling?
There have been a couple of powerful transitions. One is the shift to the cloud. Traditionally, legal firms sold on-premise products for conflicts and time management. There was a lot of hesitation among larger legal firms to migrate to the cloud, as it is generally a more conservative industry. They claimed their clients didn't allow them to store data on the cloud. The transition followed the regular cloud cycle, where first you do lower-risk applications, then you do new applications or new lower risk, then finally you transition the main things that you already have on-premise to the cloud. For legal, the key transition is twofold. One is an understanding from legal firms that they actually have to do business development. Traditionally, lawyers like to do lawyering, and they don't think too much that their job is to do sales. The untold truth is that the lawyers become partners by racing through the ranks being salespeople. They know how to bring business, and they keep it to themselves. Larger legal firms are realizing they need to extract what these partners are doing and train others to do the same, creating more of a sales culture. For this, they need CRMs. These CRMs deal with internal data, not cases or highly confidential information, which makes them suitable for cloud transition. DealCloud was ideal for this transition. They worked with people who developed the sales methodology, specifically the Challenger methodology, and adapted it for professional services, calling it the Rainmakers. They have been promoting this with the CRM, learning from Salesforce that you need a sales methodology supported by technology. This shift in go-to-market strategy has been effective in penetrating the cloud within hesitant customers. Now, conversations are with CMOs and executives rather than those who are more conservative about keeping things on-premise. This transition has been significant, and although I haven't spoken to people in over a year, I believe the opportunity to sell cloud solutions to legal firms is promising.
Staying within the legal space, could you quantify the cross-sell opportunities? How were different products penetrated, and what progress was made towards that opportunity during your time there?
There is still room for growth within legal because most legal firms have the risk suite, but there is an opportunity to sell both the operational and marketing suites. The operational suite includes BillStream to complement time management, which they have been promoting. On the marketing side, DealCloud is an interesting move. It was considered a mid-tier solution and sold at a lower price. DealCloud's list price is around $300 per month per user, which is at least twice what Salesforce charges. However, they successfully position it as a premium product. Most firms are not as price sensitive and want customized support and products. DealCloud has been successfully marketed to legal firms, financial services, and accounting consulting. You might wonder if the market is saturated within legal firms. There are about 3,000 legal firms with a significant number of lawyers. Traditionally, they sold to firms with 100 lawyers or more, and 95 of the top 100 firms already have at least one product. The average is around two products, so there is still room to sell more. They have been working on lowering the implementation barriers. DealCloud doesn't have the same entry barriers as Conflicts, which require consulting. DealCloud can be sold to VC firms with three people, or legal firms with three lawyers for business development. Even small legal firms are recognizing the need for a CRM. Efficient go-to-market strategies and sales capabilities are becoming important for all firms.
Regarding DealCloud on the legal side, you are saying there is a lot of value and white space to explore. However, my sense is that uptake has been slow and challenging. I am not sure about the roadblocks, but I understand that not many of the top 100 law firms have DealCloud at this point.
When I left, they were just launching the cloud. One place hadn't seen much uptake, but DealCloud was different. From my conversations with sellers, they saw opportunities and were excited about DealCloud. They were building a pipeline and having good conversations. I haven't been in touch for a year and a half, so I don't have current information on uptake. But there was a sense of interesting opportunities.
Switching to the other part of the cross-sell opportunity, which involves leveraging this strong position within private equity firms to sell other Intapp products like Conflicts, can you talk a bit about that?
Yes, that has involved bringing those products to market. I think they acquired another product targeting financial services in terms of Conflicts, just as I was about to leave. There is an interesting dynamic because DealCloud traditionally approached the market differently. While Intapp initially targeted the top of the market, DealCloud went after mid-sized firms first. This created a significant presence in the mid-market, but there is still a huge opportunity to grow into larger firms. They secured key deals with top firms just before I left, which opened opportunities for Conflict products. These products are more appealing to larger firms than mid-market ones. They are now focusing on growing into larger firms and are already working on those deals. I'm not sure how many deals they have closed in selling the Conflicts suite to upper mid-market or larger financial services firms, but there is still a lot of potential. The financial services market depends heavily on industry activity. When there is more M&A and IPOs, they perform well, as seen post-pandemic with the rush of IPOs. When the market slows, it is more challenging. However, there is potential for recovery in M&A activity and IPOs, which would significantly boost Intapp.
There is a lot of debate on the private side about where we are in the cycle, with too many firms and too much dry powder creating a bit of an overhang. I wanted to revisit the operational side. I think we glossed over it. Could you tell me more about how the allocation of quotas and target selling worked for the sales force?
When discussing how we operationalize, Intapp works in a matrix environment. I often describe it as a Rubik's Cube because it involves presidents of various industries, such as financial services, accounting, consulting, and legal. Each of these sectors has its own product marketing, product managers, and general managers who oversee every aspect of their product. Additionally, there is a general go-to-market organization managed by Costa that covers everything. Costa has to collaborate across three different presidents, each with their own organizations or general managers. While the product is centralized, each sector has its own product teams that need to coordinate. When setting quotas, we assess which teams will grow the most and determine headcount allocation for accounting, consulting, financial services, and legal. We conduct a top-down assessment of growth, supported by a three-year plan. From the go-to-market organization, we perform a bottoms-up analysis to determine the necessary productivity and headcount to achieve our objectives. This involves productive capacity modeling, which considers how many heads we need, their ramp-up time, and hiring timelines. Quotas are individualized, with territories divided based on potential. We aim to equalize them, but some territories naturally have more potential. We have a strategic tier for large accounts, an enterprise tier, and an upper mid-market tier, with lower mid-market mainly in financial services, akin to SMB. It is a complex puzzle to fit everything together, determining capacity and quotas distribution. We maintain a disciplined process, holding weekly calls to track hiring status.
Can you give me a sense of how much each salesperson was expected to bring into your business?
Quotas typically range, though I am unsure if it is confidential. Generally, these quotas are similar to other enterprise solutions. A typical quota can range from $1 million to $2 million. A strategic salesperson might close $2 million or more, while a traditional enterprise salesperson might achieve $1 million. In the mid-market, quotas are usually between $1 to $1.2 million. And for the traditional mid-market, it is around $500,000 to $800,000. This is comparable to other SaaS enterprise-focused solutions.
Within the quotas, are there any differences between new business and cross-sell? And how are these allocated among the sales force?
Most of the motion we have has shifted strategies over time. There is an understanding that an account manager owns a set of accounts, which include existing customers with a portfolio and new customers. In the compensation plans, there is growth from new customers and new products. Growing a customer in a product has its own quota, and maintaining existing customers or renewal rates has its own quota. We separated those, and it would be very hard to be successful without bringing in either new logos or growing new products into existing customers. The motion to grow new products into existing customers resembles acquiring a new logo to a large extent. Selling conflicts into a particular organization, especially in legal firms, is challenging as they are not super integrated. When selling to the CMO, you have a different value proposition and a very different product. It is not like selling another conflicts product. You cannot simply sell terms to the same stakeholders. You need to approach a different part of the organization. That is why there is a structure of product specialists. Managing directors or executives are more generalists, and there is a set of product specialists, similar to the SAP model. When you have a large deal, they are the ones who pitch to the CMO or build that relationship. The account executive coordinates the deal, ensuring paperwork and everything else is done. It is challenging to have someone who can talk to the CMO, CEO, and risk team with the necessary depth to close large deals. It is a model with account executives, product specialists, and value engineers, much like SAP. People specialize in that practice, having been CMOs or risk leaders themselves. They know it inside out and can engage in deep discussions. There are also sales engineers, but there is the equivalent of a sales engineer from a business perspective and specialists in building the value proposition. They say, "We understand this, now let's build this value proposition for you. This is how much money you can save and where it's going to take you." The go-to-market organization is very sophisticated modeled after the SAP organization to close larger deals in complex structures. I think that has been successful and is needed in this type of environment.
In terms of product competitiveness, as you are managing the sales organization that is selling the product, how did you feel about the product's strength overall in these setups?
Within the legal space, the Intapp brand is undeniable. They have a very strong brand, and there is this idea that with Intapp, you cannot go wrong. Their value proposition is geared towards larger firms, emphasizing integration across their suite of products. These firms already have enough silos that are hard to break, but Intapp offers a level of integration where, for example, when you do outreach with the cloud, you can check for conflicts with firms. If you close a deal with a new firm, you can immediately pull the terms and understand them. The idea is the integrated firm, which they have been advocating for quite a while. They focus on running the firm rather than assisting lawyers with their work, which has been a successful pitch, creating a strong brand. In the legal technology space, they have a significant edge. In financial services, the DealCloud brand is considered premium, charging more than competitors. There is stronger competition because the barriers to entry are not as high. Other CRM solutions, often called incubators, target smaller firms first and have grown into the mid-market. The company noticed this and ensured competitiveness in that space. Intapp's value offering is moving higher up because those deals impact more significantly. As they moved up, they left some space in the lower mid-market for competitors, which they noticed. However, they still have a premium product that dominates the high-end and larger enterprises in that space.
They sound very exciting, especially regarding accounting and consulting opportunities. There is some consolidation happening there.
I think the partnership with Microsoft was critical, and it was driven by the move into accounting consulting. That partnership is also helping them in other areas. The move to AI is particularly interesting because, in their space, there is a lot of text involved. We see AI being applied as a way to enhance roles that require the use of words and text, such as sales, where emails are sent, or marketing with outreach materials. In the legal profession, the language is much more specific, similar to mathematics, where you must use the correct words. Mistakes are not an option. With products like DealCloud, if you send an email and the content isn't perfect, it is not a big deal. However, if you write a contract and the content is not perfect, that is a significant problem.
They are very well positioned in the legal space with a strong premium product for private equity firms. They have high potential as a startup in accounting and professional services. And there is interesting potential with AI, especially on the CRM side because it is less rigid.
With AI, the main area they are already exploring is the use of AI in accounting consulting firms. These firms allow people to use AI to input company content into training models. This enables them to ask questions like how much a person makes and receive answers. Their product focuses on managing conflicts and siloing AI information so that only the right answers are available to the right people. I believe this has tremendous potential.
You mentioned the Microsoft partnership. Can you elaborate on how that helps with marketing and acquiring new accounts?
There is an option to sign on the Microsoft Marketplace and access the cloud. Many accounting firms and larger financial services are Microsoft shops using Teams as a communication tool. It is about integrating with Teams and going to market through it. This approach is interesting because while others use Zoom or Slack, professional services firms use Microsoft Teams. It was a way to enter that market and, with AI, provide them access to the latest AI technology from Microsoft.
Could you confirm if there are elements in your profile related to cross-sectional strategy or company positioning that we haven't discussed yet and are worth highlighting?
Are you referring to market positioning or something specific?
I think it is about market positioning.
From a legal perspective, our positioning is that we are the integrated firm. There is a significant opportunity to learn from top partners about what drives their business success. We can teach and support this with technology across the company, so everyone can become a rainmaker. This is a key positioning for the legal space. In financial services, we are a well-known brand. Our current positioning is to grow into the enterprise by closing large deals. We offer a comprehensive solution, helping firms run efficiently by addressing conflicts and other professional services challenges. We have done this for industries like accounting, consulting, financial and legal, and we can apply the same principles here. Conflicts are a natural area for us, although VC firms and financial services don't track hours like lawyers do. I have discussed with them about managing compensation, which differs from what we do at EasyComp. Our strong brand with the cloud allows us to expand into larger firms, and then we can introduce additional services. In accounting consulting, we are targeting the Big Eight firms with our cloud product. While we have had success with the mid-market, we have brought in top executives to pursue the Big Eight. This strategy is risky because it is binary. You either secure a big deal or you don't. However, I believe it will pay off, as we have been building these relationships for some time, and it has the potential for significant returns.
Taking a step back, how do you view the opportunity for Intapp if they execute well on these opportunities we have discussed? How would you assess the addressable and serviceable market? They are currently at $500 million in revenue. How large is the opportunity ahead of them?
We have looked at the marketing and brought in consulting firms to assess the market size and opportunities. I believe the legal market alone could reach $1 billion. Although not enormous, the legal market could easily be $3 to $4 billion. They are a significant player in financial services and CRM within financial services. While not as large as the market for Salesforce, it is substantial, likely surpassing $20 billion. As larger firms close multi-million dollar deals, growth can accelerate quickly. There is no doubt they can grow to $1 billion and beyond, considering the addressable market in accounting consulting. They currently have minimal market share, but the market itself could be several $1 billion, both on the conflict side and CRM. It is interesting that they are targeting the high-end market, but the product might eventually work for the mid-market, where there are numerous mid-market accounting firms internationally. They have mainly focused on the US and the UK, but they are expanding in APAC, including Singapore and Australia. The Middle East is also seeing growth, particularly in Dubai, with potential for further international expansion. There is significant potential, and they are just scratching the surface.
Are there any concerns or risks you see about the company from an investor perspective?
I think the state of the financial services market and the increase in M&A activity could have an impact. It is difficult to predict when that will happen, but it is like a rubber band being stretched. At some point, it has to snap back. Another point we haven't covered is the executive team, which I find impressive. Ultimately, it is the people who will grow the company and push it to the next level. John, the CEO, is a thoughtful individual, low ego, personable, and private. The executives have been with the company for a long time and know the market inside out. As the company transitions and grows, they are bringing in talent from outside. It will be interesting to see how this new talent integrates into the culture and what they bring from other industries while working with executives who know this industry well. The company has a lot of potential, and they are realizing it, becoming more aggressive. The executive team is cautious and careful, but there is a big opportunity. The new talent they are bringing in is likely to be more aggressive.